Hi everyone, this is Liana with the SoCal Sound. We are here for another SoCal Sound session with the band Circa Waves. We have Kieran here and we also have Joe. I'm so excited to talk with you guys. I know you guys just came from, you were doing a tour in Mexico City and then South by Southwest before that. How has it been going so far?
Not much sleep, a lot of flights. A lot of cervezas, a lot of tacos, a lot of great people. Mexico is insane, as it usually is, with really cool people. And South by Southwest was chaotic, but
a lot of fun.
But really cool.
Yeah.
And you guys did South by Southwest previously, right? You did that
many years ago.
Yeah, it was one of the, we did it just before our first album came out, which is what, 2015?
Yeah.
So it's like eight years ago. But this time it was a lot more calm. We did 9 gigs in 3 days on the last one.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think physically we could handle that anymore.
No, I'm much older and I'm a back sore now.
It's kind of hard, I think, 10 years later, being able to do the same amount you were doing before. It's like, just, I don't know. I don't have that stamina to do what I was doing 10 years ago.
Well, you can see like the young bands and you're like, oh, that was us. And they're all running around with their amps. Like,
and you're like, we used to do that.
Yeah. Hello, boys. Yeah, it's great.
I remember when I used to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So it sounds like, so you did South by Southwest, did Mexico City, and now you're here in LA. You're going to be playing at the Troubadour, which will be super fun. And have you guys played that venue before? Or?
Yeah, I think we did that around 2015 as well, right?
Magic year.
Yeah, it's great. I'm a big sort of Carole King, Joni Mitchell fan, so for me it's like the home of all that kind of stuff. It's amazing, yeah, I love it. So I'm very excited to go back.
Well, that whole area is so special, you know, Coldwater Canyon, Laurel Canyon, you know, it's like so much of that music was like kind of made in that area. So I feel like that WeHo area is really special too, especially for artists.
Yeah, you can just feel it when you go there. There's been a lot of great music made there and played there.
Yeah.
And when we play there, even more great music.
Slightly great music playing.
Well, I love you guys are kind of doing, it's almost like you're circling back a little bit to 2015, you know, South by Southwest, and now you're coming back to the Troubadour. It's almost like, you know, obviously you're in very different places than you were 10 years ago, but it's kind of cool that it's like you're almost doing an homage to, I don't know, like
previous life,
and yet very different life too. And you know, a lot of what I wrote down to kind of talk about was so much has happened obviously in the last 3 years with the pandemic we had, and I feel like music and bands have, just like all of us, have been affected in that way, in good ways, because it kind of gave a chance to be creative and really think about things, but also in really difficult ways too. I mean, how does it feel to be kind of coming back to doing a big tour again? I know that previously when you had your album, what's it like over there? And then you did Sad Happy. It was kind of like nonstop, it seemed like. It was like you created, you know, the first album and then you did, you know, Sad Happy. And it was like nonstop. You were just going and going. And then the pandemic happened and it kind of just like left things really just like a pause for a little bit. How was that for you guys, kind of just pausing, taking a beat and not doing music for a little bit?
It was strange, wasn't it? I mean, I had a kid just before the pandemic, so like, I went from being like in a rock and roll band touring the world
to dad
to being like just at home with a child, like, what is this? So that was like crazy, but really great because I got to like raise my child and not be on tour, which was nice.
Yeah.
But we've been touring for like 7 years, pretty much nonstop.
Wow.
We've been around each other, and like to not be around each other for like a year and a half, pretty much, was very odd. It was like being separated from your family in a way.
Yeah, you're like a family, totally.
I think as well, I think it's you know, it's you sort of get used to the lifestyle a little bit and you sort of things get normalized, and I think that when it gets taken away, I think you understand how sort of strange the touring and recording cycle is. And I think that it was kind of, I quite enjoyed being able to sort of live a normal life for a little bit to some extent. And I think that when we came back to it, I think having that break, it sort of, we got to reassess things a little bit. And I think that, not that we took it for granted before, but I think we sort of realized, we fell back in love with the whole thing. And I think that, I think we sort of came out of it a lot stronger. And I think like we spent a lot of time communicating and a lot of Zoom calls. Yeah. The group chat was...
Love a Zoom call.
Yeah. But the group chat was constantly going.
Yeah, and it's great. Once we came back, we did, like, the first UK tour back.
Yeah.
People were, like, so happy to be at a gig.
Right.
Like, we did the first gig back at a place called Brixton Academy, which is, like, a sort of legendary London venue. And people were losing their minds. It was like when, you know, they, like, release cows into the wild and they're, like...
Just going crazy.
It was,
yeah.
Like that. It was amazing. So we exactly what Joe said, like, we didn't take it for granted, but we certainly now, when we see like gigs and we see our fans enjoying themselves, it feels like even, amazing.
Even better, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no, I remember going to, I don't know if you guys have been to Outside Lands in San Francisco, but it's a huge music festival. And I went in 2021. It was the first big festival I went to after the pandemic. And it was like what you said. It was like people were wild. It was a lot because it was my first time, so I had never really experienced it before. But it was like people were just ready and kind of raging for music in this way where it's like we were all so desperate to have that experience again for, you know, to be at a show, to feel that energy from the band and to be able to be in that venue.
It's like therapy for people. It's like you don't realize how important it is until it's gone. Like it's like a real, it's a catharsis for everyone who goes to a gig. It's like that release of all the stuff that's gone in the week previously, you know, it's just gone in a gig. So I think everyone realized how important they were when we finally lost them.
Do you feel like you're writing and you're playing music and like you said, like performing and having that cathartic experience, is that a way that you guys work with anxiety?
Certainly writing songs for me is like a diary, like a sort of cathartic, like get out of my system and write about it. But yeah, I mean, I certainly feel weird if you don't do gigs for a while. I feel like I need that release.
It's like pent up, like,
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, I think there's something about like, you know, we were talking about an audience before, and like when you go to a gig and you see those people like releasing. I think it's the same thing for us. You know, when you play a thing, I think there is the amount of adrenaline that you get, you know, from that. And I think the other thing, the anxiety of like, it's difficult being in a band sometimes because you know you're putting stuff out and you don't know, you know, you hope everything's going well. It's like when you play those gigs and you see the audience reacting in a way that like you can see that the songs that you've recorded are resonating with people and you see them singing about the words, and I feel like there's a validation in that. And I think that does sort of relieve some of the stress and the sort of like, yeah, because when you're like sat at home for a couple of years, you're like, I hope people will come to these gigs when we come back.
Yeah.
And then when you see them singing the words, it's like,
Like they love it.
Yeah,
they still love it.
I'm meant to be on this stage.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm a huge believer in like, you know, there's purpose and, you know, it seems like, you know, artists and stuff, they have a purpose and it's to be able to share their message. And like, I know that it seems like too with this, again, with this new album, it's like finding the joy even within all this stuff happening in the world. And I know I was reading some more stuff about just what you guys were talking about with trying to find optimism in this world, even though it's hard, and even though we're going through a lot as a collective, it's like, how do we find optimism and how do we keep that optimism going? But I'm a huge believer in that. It's like, sometimes you just really have to know that it is gonna be okay. And it seems like you guys kind of have similar mindsets, maybe as a band or just as individuals, like believing like, okay, like this is kind of a rough time we're going through and there's a lot happening in the world, but like we have to kind of lead with an optimistic view. Is that kind of true for you?
Yeah, I think like it's good to like G yourself up and like tell yourself that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, like smile therapy or laughing therapy where you laugh and you make it's funny and then you become happy because you've just laughed. Like it's sort of a, if I write songs that are like, it's going to be great, don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll start to feel like that, and it's sort of, I hope that maybe like Never Going Under and songs that are on that record, people listen to and feel like, oh, it's going to be fine because that's what they're singing about and I feel happy after listening to it. And we all kind of need to like encourage each other to be happy and try and get people to feel okay. But at the same time, be like, yeah, we're all going through this weird anxiety about the world because the world's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's power in numbers. If we all feel like we can get through it together, then that's a great thing.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of seems like with Sad Happy, there was a little bit of that too, like a little bit with focusing on, you know, there's a part of life that's hard and then there's a part of life that's joyful and wonderful and stuff. And I know when I was listening to it, you know, the first song, Jacqueline, I'm like, oh yeah, like you just want to dance to that song, you know, and stuff. And then, you know, as the album goes on, there's ones that are a little bit, you know, obviously kind of show the more sadness and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So it seems like, I don't know, it's like a focus kind of, at least maybe in these last few years, kind of sharing that with your audience of that idea that like you can have both.
Yeah, I think that's the point of the experience, right? If you don't have like low moments, then the moments when you're high and happy just don't feel as strong and as powerful. So like I feel like it's important to kind of like accept both parts of it. Otherwise, yeah. You know, you're just gonna live like a mediocre, boring existence.
Yeah, you need to have the lows for the highs to feel really good. Yeah. It's like when you go on like a big cold walk and you get in and you have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, it's like, oh, it's so much better. Yeah. Whereas if you just sat at home and have, like, it's good, but it's like you need that, like,
the extremes.
Like the stress before the release to make it great.
That's why the like coming back after so long from like after the pandemic was so great, because it was just like you had all this moment where everything was taken away from you, and then those first gigs are the best, you know, the most enjoyable gigs we've ever played.
Yeah. And like, it's like we've been holding our breath for 2 years and then you go,
we're back.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. And that's really sweet. And I love that you guys kind of have that realistic outlook in your music, and you're like, hey, there's a lot going on, but also we can focus on the good things happening too. And there is a lot of joy in that. Like, you know, you were saying that, you know, you have a son now, and that's like such a magical moment. And I have to say, Carry You Home, like that song, I like watched the music video a few times and then I listened to the song quite a few times. And it's like, it's just, it's like, I kept listening and I realized how sweet it really was. And to me, it was really kind of talking about this feeling of like these people that you love, but like you don't know if you can really protect them always, especially in this world we live right now. And that, I mean, that's like kind of such a real thing with anyone, like with your parents, friends, your partner, your child, whatever. It's like you want to protect these people and you don't know if you always can. So that song I just thought was like, oh, I was like, it's so real and it's so deep.
Oh, thank you.
I really loved it. And I loved that one and Living in the Gray too, which kind of spoke to me in that same way of kind of like, there's no black and white zone. There is only this kind of combination of the good and bad and everything. But was Carry You Home, I mean, was that directly inspired by you now having a family, or were there other inspirations in that too?
Yeah, I think like, I mean, there's always that, like the climate change thing's always going on, right? So that's always like in the back of everyone's mind. But when I had a kid, it was everything became more like, oh, well, the future, he's in the future now, and I'm gonna have to sort of try and figure out if I can help at all. Probably not. But like, it's that feeling of wanting to be like a father, like my dad, but I'm nothing like my dad. So how do I become a man if that's what I think a man is? Do I copy him, or do I just try and be my own version of a father? So there's all that kind of mad stuff that goes on in your head. And I'm still trying to figure that one out, which, you know, you can probably tell through the songs.
Well, and that's what music is for, right? I mean, it's kind of there to be, I don't know, it's like your internal dialogue, or it's like what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is just kind of like, you know, I mean, your other albums had different themes and everything and the ups and downs and stuff, but now you're in a different place. I mean, you guys are all in a different place. And it seems like it's a pretty collaborative project, right? I mean, you all work on the writing and everything together.
Joe did the Carry You Home video that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So he directs the videos.
Oh, God.
And he's done the last videos on the last two records?
No, just this.
Oh, no, sorry, this record.
Yeah, this record I did four videos.
Hollywood and Me, Myself, and Hollywood.
But I think we've all taken responsibility for different elements, because Kieran's the writer, and then, you know, I've been doing the videos, and then the live arrangements of sort of how things work, Sam's been doing, and it's good. I think that's the thing, is like, as we've become, like, you know, as we've progressed as a band, I think we've become more aware of what the band is and who we are and what we can each bring to it. And I think as a result, the whole thing's getting better, because I think we have such a strong idea of what Circoise is now.
Yeah, it's very cohesive, this album. And not to say the others weren't, but it's just, it seems like there was a lot of growth, obviously, in these last 10 years. It's a long time.
But yeah, I think every time we always want to make a different record, you know, we want to explore and experiment. Yeah. So I think if you don't do that, you grow stale. But I think every time we sort of stray away from, you know, into a new area, we sort of learn something about ourselves and we sort of come back to like the core identity of the band, knowing a little bit more and sort of strengthening that identity. And I think that every single record, I think you can hear it, that it kind of becomes this more like, I don't know, this sort of like core thing.
So thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me. It's been such a great time, you know, hearing your music and just kind of hearing some of the backstory to what these albums are about.
It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, this song is called Carry You Home. This one's called Do You Wanna Talk? This song is called Your Ghost.
I hope your ghost will haunt me. I hope I hear you calling my name. 3 a.m. Your times are hard, times are rough. Time gets lost in the strangest of stuff. But you, said I was a winner. Lost my way one Saturday, cleaning my teeth and washing my face. And you, in my bathroom mirror. I hope your ghost will haunt me. I hope I hear you calling my name. 3 a.m. Cause honey, I love you dearly, and I cannot bear you leaving again. Again, hold the wall so far down over my eyes that it hit the ground. And you, always a distraction. But when I burn the midnight oil, I look for you on American soil. And trying to get a reaction. But I thought I but I still feel you in my clothes. I hope your ghost will haunt me. I hope I hear you calling my name. 3 a.m. Cause honey, I love you dearly, and I cannot bear you leaving again. Not again.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Leanna Bassior. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.